Sir, if you don't stop interrupting me, I'm going to put you outside with the bats and the frogs.
Oh
He
no, not the
wants to be in my
frogs.
lap, but he wants to get in the way.
Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where we are still relearning how to adult this week.
I don't know that we'll ever become pros.
No.
I am Mandy of the Magnificent North.
And I'm Karen from Indonesia.
Hello,
And
welcome.
you're welcome. We didn't realize last week that it was like a milestone episode. So
No, look at
that was
us.
exciting. I didn't find out until after
25
I uploaded the episode.
episodes. We're really
Yay.
on top of things.
Yeah, clearly. But thanks for sticking with us. You have come
Yeah.
back. Presumably, you've come back every week for 25 weeks. That's insane.
That's
That's
almost,
like
this week will be half a
6
year,
months.
right? This
That's
week
like
is half a year.
holy crap.
26 will be.
Yeah. Wow.
What?
That's insane.
Guys, that one
Thanks.
time I could math, that one time I could
I
math, it was this time.
know. Excellent. Proud of you.
Yeah.
All
Thank you. I
right.
try.
Well, dear listeners, in our timeline, it is August 28th. We are recording a little bit late this week. And in your timeline, it is September 2nd.
It
Yay!
is the month that turns fall.
Is it? Is that what it
For
is?
you, where it won't be for 3 weeks. Fall is
Okay.
September 21st, but yeah,
Well, how do
for
you
the
know that just
listeners.
off the top of your head?
So, because I know my birthday is the first day of summer,
Okay.
and then it's the 21st of June, and then my grandma's birthday is the 21st of September, and hers is the first day of fall. So
Ah,
it's just like
I
a
see.
mental thing that
I
I just
see.
know
All right, all right.
because of, yeah.
All right. Well, let's not dawdle. We waited 3 days to record this episode already. Let's do this.
Oh gosh, let's get into it.
This week in fangirling, what you do?
Oh my gosh, I did a lot.
Oh, fun. Tell me all about it.
Yeah. So I finished The Monsters We Defy, which was the book about the girl who is kind of like a clairvoyant because she made a deal to have spirits talk to her in exchange just of saving her life. And I really enjoyed the book, but then when you get to the end, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but in like the author notes at the end of the book, she said that she based this story, which I didn't know this, off of a real girl. I think her, I know it's in my blog, and her name has completely escaped me because, as I will get into later, I had a 3-year-old this weekend, and my brain has just left my body. But a real girl in the, I believe it was 1919 race wars of Washington, D.C. Her
Okay.
story is eerily similar to Breonna Taylor's 100 years later.
Oof.
And so I almost want to read it again. I can't right now, obviously. I have the endless TBR, but one day I will read it again with that knowledge in the forefront to see even more of the similarities.
Yeah.
Like there are major similarities, but then like, wow. Anyways,
Yikes.
I do want to say, I know that may sound like a spoiler. They're eerily similar. They are not the same. So I don't want anybody to think, well, now you've ruined the whole story, because there are a lot of similarities, but it's not the same. Anyways, it was very good. If you'd like to read more about it, it's up on our blog. I finished painting my library. I know that when
Yay.
we recorded last week, I was kind of in the middle of it, literally.
Yeah.
So I spent the rest of the week, and my shoulders wanted to leave my body because I painted the ceiling
Oof.
as well. I used to, before I got the job that I have now, so I was like 18, 19, I painted houses for like as my job. I was in construction. I did a lot of stuff, but primarily painting. I want to, like 17, 18-year-old me wants to kick my own ass for how much of a wimp I am now. So yeah, Sunday I needed, like, I just had to lay all day and not do anything because it
Listen,
hurt.
listen. We are 30 somethings. Our bodies are
Yeah.
old and broken.
I know. My body was
Like,
like, girl, what are you
no.
trying to do? Painting a ceiling? Two
No.
coats? No, ma'am. No,
Girl,
ma'am.
no. No, thank you.
It looks awesome. I posted some photos on my personal Instagram, but I can post some next week when this episode airs on our page as well, just so that people can see it, because I'm kind of obsessed.
It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah. So I know I also talked about how I had started Once Upon a Broken Heart. Mm-hmm. I finished that. I finished The Ballad of Never After. I am not okay in the slightest. The last 30 seconds, it can't be more than 30 seconds. The last 30 seconds of that book, I just don't have the words for. They're so traumatizing for a reader. That just like you're like, I literally sat here. I was in my library. I was like done painting, but kind of wrapping up because I knew the book was going to end. And I'm just standing here screaming, no, no, no. And then I know I text you. I think I was texting you and Josh that I was just sitting on the floor staring at the carpet. Like I couldn't feel anything. Then I went downstairs and I got in the shower and I put on All Too Well Taylor's version, like the long one, and just stood under the hot water and screamed like it was that. Oh, I told you, I haven't been had this much of a reaction to a book since The Starlight and the Shadows. Like I was hurt. I am hurt. I still feel hollow a week later. It made me want to die. Like,
oh my God. That's I'm exactly cry what I did after The Starlight and the Shadows. I finished that, immediately got in the shower and was just like screaming. Stop, and crying you have my to. Ass. I was just like, oh God.
And I know.
Not prepared.
Yeah. And I know I wrote a blog about it where I said this, but like it bears repeating. Like, we know that as readers, this is what we love. Like a book that just pours a hole through your soul. Like, it's cathartic, the pain that I feel thinking about this book. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm empty and it's the best. So I'm going to jump away from books because I'm kind of doing things in timeline order. So a lot of times I find myself, if I'm like, anxious or have had a big emotional response, like in this book, I need like one of my comfort shows, and it's not like The Office or Parks and Rec or Schitt's Creek, but like very specifically I need a Bake Off. Mm-hmm. So I'm a huge British Bake Off girl. So they did the Junior Bake Off.
Oh,
it is little, like there are little 9 and 10 year olds up to, I think the oldest was 15. They are so good though, but it's really cute because you have like a 9-year-old trying to do a showstopper 3-tiered cake, and it's mm-hmm. like it's not gonna be what a 35-year-old professional right. baker who has a cake shop can do. They're like, they're better than me, but they would be like, they're so cute. There's one little girl, Naima. She was, I think she turned 10 during filming, and she's as cute as she can be, and she's like, I always come last in the technicals, but that just means I have room to grow. Like there's like the optimism hasn't been squished out of them yet, so it's like
they're still stopping
yes tail. And stopping what they're doing to help somebody else because they're crying, like,
oh, my heart.
amazing. And so it was like the feel good that I needed to like get back into life. And I finished it last night, actually, because it was, what they did is they took 2 groups of 8, so they did 1 group of 8 down to like 4, then they did another group of 8 down to 4, and then those 4 from each group merged, and then they got down to the finals. So it was kind of long, so I would just put it on when I was going to bed, but oh, so good. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch. I've also listened to the first episode of Archetypes, which is Meghan Markle's podcast.
Oh.
I have made it no secret that I absolutely adore that woman. I think she can do no wrong. She's beautiful and perfect, and I would love for anyone to try to challenge me because I will put my elbow right into your jugular for her. She could spit on me and I would say thank you. Like, I love her. Her guest was Serena Williams, the GOAT, talking mm-hmm. about how, I don't know anything about her husband, but I know she's had a baby recently and people ask her, how are you going to balance motherhood and your job? And her husband's like, nobody ever asked me that, ever. She's not retiring from tennis. She's evolving away from professional tennis to pursue other things. And it was very interesting listen. It's about an hour. If you have an hour, highly recommend it, just because Meghan Markle's talking on it. I mean, that's good enough for me. She could read me the dictionary and I'd listen. The reason we're recording so late, part of it is I went to the Alex Astor Calvin event at Little Shop of Stories in Atlanta. So we talked about Light Lark last week. She's very freaking cute. She's really cute. They held it at the Decatur Public. Decatur. Is it Decatur? It's somewhere in Georgia. I think it's Decatur Public library. And so book talker Calvin was like the moderator. They flew him in from New York City. And Josh was like shocked that she's not a 16-year-old.
She looks
very young to be 27. Yeah. But anyways, she talked about how, you know, the part of the controversy surrounding her was she said that she's faced a decade of rejections. To hear her tell it, and it's her story to tell, so who am I to say she's not telling the truth? She was writing at 12. Mm-hmm. And Josh was like, I find that kind of hard to believe. And I was like, listen, friend, me and my two best friends in sixth grade wrote stories like every weekend. That's what we did. We got together at one of our houses, got on the computer. I was going to marry Ashley Parker Angel from O-Town in one story. Alicia was going to marry Freddie Prinze Jr. Amanda, bless her heart, had her eyes set on Lance Bass. Unfortunately for her, that's not going to happen because he is gay and not interested in anything she has to offer at this point. But those were our dreams. And so we wrote like our little stories. So I was like, absolutely 12-year-olds write stories.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And she talked about how she would find, I mean, she would have had the internet at that point. It wasn't like it is now, but you still had email addresses, or she'd have her parents print out copies of her stories and she'd send them to publishers. She said, was I any good? No. Did I know that? No. Should I have been published? Absolutely not. But she said, I did try and I did. And she's like, I have copies of all of these rejection letters to prove it.
Yeah.
Not that she needs to. So when she says a decade, she doesn't fully mean like books that I think are publishing worthy now. But when she was a 12-year-old, she was submitting books and getting rejected for it.
Yeah.
So that's a decade of rejection if you are consistently sending stories in, whether they're great or not.
Right. And at 12 years old, you think that they're amazing.
Right. And then she acknowledges that. Yeah. She's like, I thought I was writing the next Twilight. And she says, and now looking back, I was rewriting the stories that I already liked. So I can't remember the name of it. It's a Meg Cabot series and it's not The Princess Diaries. It's another one. Mm-hmm. She said it was her favorite. And she was like, basically it was that story just like sparkled. And I thought I was so original and I wasn't.
Right.
But you think at 12, again, you have that optimism that we don't have anymore as adults, where I'm going to be, you know, picked up at 13. I'm going to be a famous author.
And to get that rejection at that age, it hits you.
She said she'd cry
like
an actual
rejection.
Yeah.
Like, so just because they're not actually publishable works doesn't mean she didn't feel that rejection.
Right.
So that makes sense. I understand that totally.
Yeah. So we got in line afterwards. They had little cupcakes and like, we didn't do photos in front of they had like a little gold board set up with like Light Lark and stuff, like a photo op. We didn't do that because Josh would have made fun of me and I'm cheesy, but not that cheesy. So if the twins had been there, we might have done a little photo shoot. But they had, I haven't started reading it yet, but there, and I know I text you this, but we've heard that it's basically the Hunger Games, all of us villains, and it's a fight to the death. Well, what she said is it's not so much a physical fight to the death, everybody's black and blue and missing limbs and whatever, as it is a court politics fight to the death, where I'm going to outmaneuver you, I'm going to out-politics you until everyone's dead and I'm the last one standing. So I guess that there are multiple houses or courts or something. We were assigned a court. I could not tell you the name of it because the pin's over there. But anyways, everybody who got in got a little pin with that house, court, group, country, whatever. Yeah. And they asked us to wear gold. So I wore I had gold makeup on. She had a gold dress on. I got her to sign my book, which I'll talk about when where my money went. Kind of blends over.
Yeah.
So I got to talk to her for a minute. I was like, listen, you got all these people in front of me who are like, I've been wanting to tell you, or, you know, talking to her or Calvin, I saw this video you were in. And I got up to him and I was like, listen, guys, I'm socially awkward. I don't have anything interesting to say. I just want to get my book signed. So we, you know, we kind of laughed, and then I had a short sleeve shirt on, so you could see like I have my Valaris, not Valaris. This is technically, you can see it from Valaris. It's Ramiel, I think is the name of the mountain in Akatar.
I can't remember, but yeah,
with the three stars. I have my Akatar tattoo. I have a quill and ink pot that I got when I published. I guess you could call it published if it was recorded on an audiobook or on a podcast. My first story, the first time I got paid for a creative work, I used the money to get a quill and ink tattoo. And then I have a Harry Potter tattoo. So Calvin was like, hey, I like all your tattoos. And I was like, thanks. He said, yeah, they're very bookish. And I said, yeah, I have a thigh dagger. Obviously, I can't show you that because I'm wearing jeans and it's not that kind of party. And Alex goes, oh my gosh, I feel like Chloe would love that. Like all of her characters have thigh daggers. And I was just like, I wanted to be like,
I told you that when I was reading it. I was like,
yeah. I was like, I wanted to be like, can I borrow your phone to text her a contact that I think she should enjoy?
You texted me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I text you immediately. Because like through the whole hour of conversation, she name dropped Chloe Gong like 5,000 to the point. She's so cute. And I don't mean this in any kind of negative way, but to the point where it was like, girl, you can stand on your own. She name dropped so much. And it was like, girl, you don't need to name drop. She name dropped Chloe Gong and Adam Silvera a lot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where it was like, we think you're cool without them. But I get it. At the same time, if I was friends with them, I would be like, oh my God, let me tell you what.
Listen, if I was friends with Chloe Gong, every sentence her name would be in my mouth.
Yeah,
like even so now I'm not even friends with her and I'm talking about her all the time.
Yeah.
So, I get it.
So it was fun. It was a cute little event. They were like, they acted like it was a big deal because they were like, are you from Atlanta? And we were like, no, we're from Macon. It's about an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on traffic. And they were like shocked that we drove. Like she even wrote in my book, thank you for driving so far to come to the event. And it was like, we're childless millennials driving to Atlanta on a Thursday. We used to like, we haven't done it in a while. We probably should. We'd be like, hey, it's Tuesday and we're off work. Let's go to the Melting Pot in Atlanta and do like the 4-course fondue experience. Okay. And we drive up and come home. And
well, I think it's a product of like location and where you're brought. I mean, I think she's based in New York, maybe.
I'm not 100%
sure. But like an hour in New York is probably a different feeling than an hour in Georgia. Like my friend, I have one of my best friends lives in Rhode Island, and I like talking about like driving an hour to San Francisco, and she's like, that's so long. And I was like, that's like my commute to work.
Really not.
It's not that long. Yeah. But being from Rhode Island, like that's the entirety of the state, you know?
So, right. Yeah, that's fair.
So I think it's probably, some people are like, oh my God, an hour. And I'm just like, dude, that's like really my commute to work.
Right.
That's cute.
So yeah, she was very cute.
You sent me a picture, the picture that you guys took, and I was like, She's like me size.
She really okay. So I was wearing heels. I did have on like wedge heels, but yeah, she was real little. She was tiny.
Even then,
which added like, to the she looked like a kid. Yeah, she looked so young. So outside of that, started an arc that I probably will finish tonight. It's called Bookish People by Susan Call. Mm-hmm. It's about a woman in her 50s who owns a bookstore in Washington, D.C. And she has like existential dread. She's a widow. She's got existential dread because like terrorist attacks keep happening.
Okay. It's
basically, she lives in America today. So her staff thinks she's just like coming unhinged and she's literally losing her mind, where she is like, no, I'm just afraid. And I, you know, need some sort of an escape, some sort of an outlet. It's okay so far. It's kind of rambly and kind of flat. There's not really a whole lot of like major plot going on, but I have an hour left of it, so we'll see.
Okay.
Two more things, one of which you're going to want to talk about. I finished today. I read the Amber D. Lewis August Patreon exclusive story. Obviously I can't tell anybody what it is, but it was very cute. It ended in a very Mandy way. She said she was thinking about me when she wrote the words that it ends with, which made me laugh really hard. So if you're not a patron of Amber's, then what are you doing? Go do that. And last but not least, Karen's going to be happy but mad. I watched episode 1 of She-Hulk. I haven't had the energy for 2 yet. I've had it not last. I also had my niece, my 3-year-old niece, Friday night. She's an angel. Okay. I love this child. I would give my life for hers, but she has so much energy that it's going to take me a week to recover from how much energy she has and being one of the 2 adults chasing her around the whole time she was here. So she's part of why I didn't watch the second episode.
So, 3-year-old. That energy. Like you said, if we could bottle that up, we could solve all the world's problems.
In an hour, I could solve every problem on this earth if I had a single ounce of her energy.
Yep.
Like by lunch, everybody would be happy. Everybody would be rich. It would be great.
But alas, we don't have
that. But alas, I'm old.
Alas.
We were laying down. She sleeps in my bed with me. We kick Josh out when she spends the night. And she was almost asleep and she rolled over and said, Mimi, me love you so much. And me so glad me spend the night with you at your house. How many ponies do you want?
She's so
Where do you
sweet.
want the ponies to live? I will give you everything you could ever want. Mimi will order you a pony right now. Do they have those on Amazon? Anything you want. She does it all the time. Mimi, Mimi, love you so much. I love you so much, Mimi. And it's like, oh, so love sweet. You too, child.
So sweet.
Oh, stay this sweet.
I know, right?
So yeah, She-Hulk. We need to talk about She-Hulk.
All right, so She-Hulk, episode one.
Steve Rogers is a virgin.
I was going to say spoilers ahead.
That's not a spoiler. Everybody knows that.
But he's not.
I know. That's what makes it funny.
But so episode one ends with her being like, I'm Jennifer Walters, attorney at law, right? That's how it, mm-hmm. I'm trying to make sure I separate the episodes since you haven't seen the second one yet.
And what's her name from The Good Place? I can't remember the character's name in The Good Place, but she shows up.
Tahani. Jameela Jamil. Yeah. I love her.
At first, when they first announced Jameela Jamil, I mean, I thought she was She-Hulk.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I love that. But I love her as a bad guy even more. I love it even more.
Love it. I just saw the best TikTok. Was it TikTok or was it on Facebook? I don't remember. I saw a video and it was a clip from her appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live where Nikki Glaser was the guest host. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about the scene where she like comes into the courtroom and is like jumps to like kick at Jennifer, right? And Jennifer punches her and she goes against the wall or whatnot and gets knocked out. Apparently, Jimmy really was like adamant that we constantly see men getting like kicked in the balls on TV, and so she was like, you know,
I love it.
Maybe this time we need to see a woman get like popped in the pussy. And so they did a take where she like reacts like she gets punched in the groin area. And it's so funny. It's obviously it's none of like the CGI or anything. It's just her on wire jumping over to kick her and then like throwing her hands down like she just got punched. It is so funny. And she was like, and this is why I'm not in charge of editing. They made the better choice. Oh my gosh, so funny. Oh,
that is pretty funny. I liked when he said something about you need to control your feelings of anger and fear, and she was like, so be a woman.
Yeah, like
that's our baseline.
That's like all I've been doing. That's all I do.
Yeah,
all the time. Like,
yeah.
And of course you've got the fragile men out there who are like, oh, she's saying her traumas. No, she's not saying her traumas worse than Bruce's. She's actually in fact saying that Bruce has all this trauma, which is why he needed more time in order to control it, where she has spent most of her life controlling her anger. So she already has like that baseline of knowing how to control it. It's not that she's better. She's just done it already.
He didn't have to do it before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to control his anger. Yeah. Chad.
Freaking Kyle. I'm really enjoying it so far. Like, I love the fourth wall breaks. I love just how it's so funny. It's so different from like Marvel. And it's just, it's a really nice, like, comedic break so far.
I know. It made me sad every time they referenced Tony, though. Like, looking at Bruce's face.
Yeah. There's something that happened. I want to talk about it, but it happens in the second episode. So I can't say anything. So we'll talk about it next
week.
But there's this one part that I didn't really like get the first time around, and then I was like, oh, that's hilarious, so funny. We will talk about it next week, but
yeah,
I love it. It's so good.
So anything else on Hulk before I move, I ask you what you did this week?
I don't think so. I just really
what did you do?
I like her paralegal. I like Nikki.
Sir, don't interrupt, it's rude. He's standing right behind my laptop. Her paralegal is really precious.
I adore her. She's so cute. Like, and I love that they're like besties. Like, even though she works for her, like they don't have that power dynamic. They're just really good friends. And I love
that. It doesn't have to be like, I'm your boss. You have to blah, blah, blah.
I love it. Yeah. That's all I have to say, I think. Yeah.
What else did you do this week?
Well, I went to New York and I'm still recovering.
Yes, you did.
Bless your heart. Oh my gosh. I highly do not recommend taking a weekend trip to New York if you live in California. I'm exhausted. And it's like,
I know,
a week
that's
later.
That's not enough time to adjust to jet like either way.
Yeah. Well, luckily for me, we didn't really sleep.
You don't sleep, so.
Well,
you don't
just,
sleep anyways.
The way that things turned out, it just, sleep was not to be had. It was crazy. The wedding was amazing. It was beautiful. She looked like a freaking princess and it was amazing. Obviously, everybody looks at the bride when she comes out. I was staring right at the groom. I was like, I want to see his reaction.
I was gonna say no.
Mm-mm. No. And also I'm like, I've seen you all day. Like, I've seen you getting ready. Yeah. I've seen you in your dress. I've seen how beautiful you look and you continue to look beautiful and stunning. I want to see his reaction to you, which I was staring right at him.
Yeah. As a former wedding videographer, the groom in the money shot when she walked on the aisle. I could not care less about the bride. When he sees her, that's where the money is, right there.
That's the moment. That's when you know. It was so precious. I heard her vows like 5 times because I was with her while she was working on them and I helped her write them onto the flashcards. So I heard her vows like 5 times and I cried every single time. And they were the perfect vows. She was stressing out about them and they were the perfect vows. There is this one line and I choke up about it every time I think about it. And she said that day was the beginning of our, what was it? Was the start of our once upon a time. And today we start our happily ever after. And I was just like, oh, see, I'm like still crying. It was so good. And it was funny because after she finished, she went first, she finished her vows. And then he was like, well, how do I follow up after that?
Yeah, thanks.
It was, yeah, her vows were really good. And then they had a, I think he said he was like a former Supreme Court justice. He was the one who was marrying them. And he like stumbled a bit as he was like, because he had like pages, notes or whatnot. And so he was like, do you take blah, blah, blah. And then it was like the next page. So he was like fumbling with the pages. And she was just like, I do. And everybody just like burst out laughing. Aww. It was so cute. It was so cute. And it made me feel really good because like I knew how nervous she was. And for her to have gotten comfortable enough to just joke around in that moment, it was perfect. It was amazing. It was a beautiful wedding. It was fun. And my daughter looked adorable. I sent you pictures.
She did look precious.
She looked very cute. The wedding was lovely. My daughter looked amazing. Everything, like, the bride was, like, so stressed out. And I was, everything's gonna be fine at the end of the day. At one point, I had to go back up to the bridal suite while they were doing pictures to get something for somebody. And all the bridesmaids were like, we would not have been able to do this without you. I was like, I'm in the bridal party, but not really. I'm like bridal party adjacent. So I was just like helping out.
Bridal party mom.
I'm like, I'm just here. Funny story, actually. While they were doing pictures, the venue photographer, not like the photographer they hired, he at one point, because they took pictures of the invitation just to be like cutesies.
Yeah.
And so I was with the bridesmaids and my daughter, and we were walking toward like a spot in the garden for them to take pictures. And this guy was like, auntie, and all of us turned and I was like the closest and he was like, here, give this, we're done with this. And so I was like, okay, cool. And we all walked. I was like, why did I respond to that? Apparently this guy thought I was the bride's aunt. I was like, sir, first of all, she is like 9 months older than me. Second of all, mother of the flower girl. That is my official title.
How dare you?
I was like, what?
Listen,
I was so
respond to auntie, Mimi, all
I know. I like, but it was so weird. I was just like, without a thought, I just responded to it. And I'm like, I don't know that I've had anybody call me auntie like recently or ever. I can't think of anybody who has called me auntie, really. Anybody that like my nieces and nephews, they call me auntie, but in like Chinese. So, like,
yeah.
I've never actually responded to Auntie. So it was really weird. I was like, why did I respond to that? But that was really funny. But at one point, I was going to say, I went back to the bridal suite, and the bride was in the bridal suite while everybody was doing other pictures. And she was sitting there practicing her vows. And I looked at her. I could see how nervous she was. And I was like, hey. And she looked up at me. I'm like, you're going to be fine. You got this.
Yeah.
And I was like, take a deep breath. She took a deep breath. And she looked so much better. And she nailed it. She nailed it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Listen, if you're listening, if you're a bride-to-be or if you're planning your own wedding, hear these words. Things will go wrong on your wedding day. You will be the only person who notices. No one else cares if you don't have the type of wine that you originally planned on, or if the flower girl came out 30 seconds later than you thought she would, or if the flowers are not as big as you thought they would be, or if the arrangements, nobody cares about that. As long as the food is good and the music is good, and you're married at the end of the day,
that's all that matters.
Nobody cares past that.
If you're married at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Yeah.
Yep. But it was Josh, really I wasn't there with him. Josh filmed a wedding once where the power literally went out the entire town in the middle of the ceremony.
Stop they were it.
Inside a church. It's like, it was after daylight saving. So it was like 7 o'clock and it was pitch dark outside. And they were about to say they're like, I do. And everything shut off. And you can hear in the video where he's like, what do we do? And they just sat there in the dark for like 45 minutes because it was like a town-wide outage. And eventually it came back. They finished. They had their reception and they married and it was fine. And now they have a story to tell.
Yeah, for real. So yeah, it was really fun. And it was fun to see Angie. And then she, like, we went on adventures the next day.
I'm so jealous.
So the next day we had planned to go to the Strand, which is apparently like a huge bookstore in New York. But we just got started late. And by the time we actually got like settled into the hotel that we were staying at, it wouldn't have made sense to go all the way out and then come back to go see Into the Woods. Right. So we just didn't. But yeah, we went to see Into the Woods, which was amazing. It was in the room breathing the same air as Philippa Sue. It was phenomenal. It was amazing. She was obviously amazing. Fantastic. Perfect. Perfection. It was so good. It was so good. I loved it so much. They didn't do stage door. Like, they came out, obviously they came out at the stage door, but they went like right into their cars. Like, they had cars lined up and each person came out individually and they just like booked it straight to their cars, which was fine. I get it. Like, it is what it is. Plus we had to, like,
you want to go home.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get it. Like, I don't fault them at all. It would have been really cool if we could have, but like, they just put on like a ridiculously amazing show. I get it. They're probably tired.
Right.
And then at one point, my daughter was like, I have to go to the bathroom. And I was like, you couldn't have told us this before we walked out of the theater. We're in New York. There's no public bathrooms.
Really?
So.
What do you mean, child?
It was crazy. But everything worked out. We went and we saw the show and all of that. And then we went to, if you're ever in New York City, go to Ellen's Stardust Diner. It's amazing. Do you know about it?
I've heard about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's where all of like the staff is basically like, they are on Broadway, or they're like trying to get on Broadway. And so
they kind of allude to it in Tick, Tick, Boom. Kind
is
of
it?
Similar. That, similar vibes.
Maybe. I can't really remember. But it is amazing. They have the wait staff is just there singing throughout the night. So like, it's like karaoke.
That's so cool.
It was, and the coolest part was that our waitress, at one point it was her turn to sing, and the like MC person or whoever was calling another waitress, to be like, are you going to be Glinda? And he had said our waitress's name, and I was like, and she had walked by. I'm like, if she's going to be Glinda, that means you're Elphaba, right? She's like, yeah. And it's exactly what you think it is going to be. And I was like, oh my God, my waitress is singing one of my favorite Broadway songs right now. It was so good. It was amazing.
I've seen it on TikTok and
I think it's like, it's such a good thing for the patrons as well, because you're so entranced in these performances that you're eating slower, so you get full faster, so you don't overeat. We like took home leftovers. I never take home leftovers from a restaurant because I'm just like shoveling it in my face. And so like we took, like we both got burgers and we took like half of the burger, because we were just
amazed.
I was just like sitting there, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, all of these people can and should be on Broadway, and some probably have been previously. And so it's very cool. It's an entire experience. I think everybody, if you go to New York, it's like there's a wait, obviously. Like, we were down the street in line waiting, but it went by pretty fast and it was well worth it. And the food is amazing too. Like, not just the performances, but the food was really good too. So that was really fun. And then on Monday, which was the day that we were flying back, I woke up at like 8:30, looked at my phone and freaked out because my flight said that it was delayed by 2 hours, which meant that my 2 hour layover was now 18 minutes. And I panicked. I was freaking out.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And Angie was like, it's okay. And I was like looking at all the things. And Angie was like helping me look. And she's like, at the end of the day, you will get home. I was like, yes, we will get home. It'll be fine. I might have to stay the night in Dallas, but we will eventually get home.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
We will make it home.
Yeah. So then we went to the drama bookshop, which was very cool. They have, I don't know if you've seen it, but they have like a bookworm hanging throughout the shop made of books. It's so cool. I think I took a video of it. I can post. It's very cool. And they just had so much like theater and screenwriting and playwriting and all of this like great stuff for if you're in the industry or want to break into it. It's like the perfect vibe for like, if I had had more time, I would have sat down, brought my computer and sat there writing because it was the perfect vibe for it.
Yeah. It was great. Say you wrote. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was really fun. And then as we were sitting down, we got like, they have a little cafe, so we got some stuff to like sip on and eat. And as we were sitting down, staring out at the front of the bookshop, it was pouring down rain, which was so lovely. I was like, of course.
When it rains, it literally rains.
Yeah. So, yeah. But there was a comic book shop like a block away, like around the block. So we just like ran through. We ran from scaffolding to scaffolding and got to the comic book shop. It was fairly not wet. So that was fun. The comic book shop was really cool. They were like two stories and like they had like comic books and then they had like collectibles on the second story and it was very cool. That was fun. And then by the time we got out of the comic book shop, it had stopped raining, but my daughter had to go to the bathroom. And again, no public bathrooms in New York City, but we were really close to our hotel where we had left our stuff to like hold while we explored.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back to the hotel and did that. I checked my phone. My flight is back on time. And now I'm panicking for a whole other reason because we should have left already.
I think that should be illegal. They shouldn't. If your flight is delayed, they shouldn't be able to say never mind.
Right. Because imagine if people I had not
changed their been, plans.
Yeah. I had planned the remainder of my day thinking that I had two extra hours when in fact I did not. But at the end of the day, we made our flight. We did not have a stressful connection at all. We got home. It was fine. So that was my whirlwind weekend in New York. It was crazy. And then, on the flight there and back, I finished my beta read of The Stardust in the Ashes.
Long enough.
I know. Homie. It was, I don't know what happened. Like, I was reading it and then I don't know why I stopped. Like, I took a break for a little while and I'm not really sure what happened, but I finished reading it.
I'm just picking at you.
I sent Amber all of my notes and like she read through them and we were just laughing at, I don't want to say anything because you don't want to know any reactions to it, but I was like, we were laughing at my, because she had me read this for a specific reason, but all of my notes were basically just me reacting to the story. Which was really fun too. And what Amber was having me sensitivity read because there were, she was saying that there are specific, like they're set in a place where she kind of took from Asian influences. And so she just wanted to make sure there was nothing that could be like perceived as problematic. So for the most part, I didn't find anything that I felt was problematic. There was one scene, and I told her this, there was one scene where I was like, I felt really uncomfortable with this, and I'm not sure if it's because of the context of this or if it's because of this underlying thing. And she's like, well, better safe than sorry, I'll just rewrite it real quick. And she did, she like rewrote it and it kept the essence of what she was trying to portray without giving me like a visceral reaction to it. Right. Which again, don't know, like, and I was telling her, I had a visceral reaction to it, and I don't know if it's because of the content or if it's because of something else. I really could not tell you what it was, but the rewrite worked, got rid of that. So
perfect. Yeah. Good, good, good.
And I don't, like, I don't think that it was a problematic thing, but I also don't know why I had such a visceral reaction to it. So she was like, you know what?
She said, better safe than sorry. Yeah,
exactly. If when in doubt, just don't. Yeah. And she was able to rewrite it in a way that captured the essence of what she was trying to portray. And she added in a little extra to it that I thought was really cute. And I was like, was that just for me? Because I love that. So, I am excited for people to, well, right now, what's out? ARC for Starcross is out. So sign up for that if you want to get that. But I'm excited for book three to go through edits and then finally get to ARC stage. I'm excited. And then the other thing that I read this week, I wrote a blog about this and it makes me really happy. Yeah. I got an ARC for a book called, well, that was unexpected. And the title itself just makes me so happy. But it is about two teenagers, Charlotte Citra, who is a Chinese Indonesian living in LA. And I kid you not, George Clooney Tanuwijaya, whose name I'm probably saying wrong, his last name I'm probably saying wrong, but his first middle name, George Clooney, because his father, his
hilarious parents,
obsessed with American celebrities. His younger sister is Eleanor Roosevelt. And it makes me laugh so much every time I think about
it. Imagine being the guy named George Clooney, though. Like,
yeah. But they're based in Indonesia. So they're Chinese Indonesian, but in Indonesia.
Yeah.
And so Charlotte gets caught in a compromising position by her mother, who decides that in order to fix what she perceives is wrong with her daughter, they're going to take the summer in Indonesia. So she whisked her way to Indonesia, where she's never been. She doesn't know her family because her mother never talks about Indonesia. And what happens is that George and Charlotte's parents catfish each other using the kids' social media. So George's dad tries to find George a real human girlfriend using his social media account. He just messages a random person he thinks is appropriate on social media. Turns out to be Charlotte's social media account, but Charlotte's mom is the one on the receiving end of it.
Oh my God.
And so then when the kids like find out about this, they're like, what the heck? And then they think the other person is like dull and boring because it's actually the parents. Yeah. And
your mom has to get on here for you. Ew.
Okay, but they don't know. They decide to keep up the lie, thinking, so Charlotte and George both are like, oh yeah, it was totally me messaging you. So they're under the impression that it was like the other person. It's hilarious. I thought it was, you can't make this up, but apparently you can because she did.
Yeah.
But it was so funny. I highly recommend it.
That sounds really cute.
And at the heart of it, it's like about figuring out who you are, about your family, about, you know, being yourself. There is a cute reveal.
Comedy.
It is. It's the perfect like rom-com. It's so funny. Yeah. But there's a cute reveal at the end that I didn't see coming that I loved so much. It was really funny. It was really well written. It's by the author who wrote Dal A for Aunties, Jesse Q Sutanto. I highly recommend it. It comes out September 27th, which is the same day as Foul Lady Fortune. So it's going to be a good day for books.
September's a good month for books.
It is. And then the last thing I did this week, I think this is the last thing I did. I did not end up going to the screening for Honk for Jesus Save Your Soul because my back was acting up that day. But I got an advanced screener link for a movie called Me Time starring Mark Wahlberg and Kevin Hart. It is out on Netflix now. And Kevin Hart plays like a stay-at-home dad who basically hasn't had any like me time in like years by choice. When his wife, who is also coincidentally played by Regina Hall, She takes the kids to her family, and he gets me time. And to prove that he's not boring, he, like, reconnects with his best friend, Hot, played by Mark Wahlberg, and just chaos ensues. Think, like, Hangover-level chaos, but toned down a bit.
Oh, Lord.
But it's funny. I there were, like, high stakes, but it didn't feel, like, urgent. So, like, the stakes, you know, like, in theory, they're, like, they should be high stakes, but in actuality, it didn't feel like that. It was good for a few laughs. It's probably not something that I would like put on a rewatch unless somebody else wanted to watch it.
Right.
It was good for like a one-time watch. I enjoyed it, but I probably won't come back to it. But,
yeah. Josh will probably watch it. He'll watch anything with Mark Wahlberg in it, which so will I.
Yeah.
I
love that. Was, you know, the performances were great. It was aggressively meh is the best way I can put it.
Fair.
Okay.
Did you do anything else this week?
Nothing that I can think of. I don't think so.
So who's your fictional boyfriend?
My fictional boyfriend, it feels funny to say, is George Clooney. But the character in the book, not George Clooney the actor. George Clooney the fictional character. but no, he's like an 17, 18 year old kid. Okay. So not like in a way that's creepy, but like his family business, they like have a bunch of different things, but one of the things that they do is they create apps, and he came up with this app called One Liner, which is basically supposed to like tackle toxic masculinity and like teach boys how to actually behave and get rid of this whole like boys will be boys idea. And I just thought that was really like, that's really cool for like a 17, 18 year old boy to think of, to be that be his brainchild and be something that he was really passionate about. And then the way that he like treated Charlotte throughout the book, even though he thought she was like this persona that her mom had created, he thought she was like kind of boring and all of this, but he still treated her really well. And I just thought it was really sweet. He was very sweet. So I'm going to go with that. What about you?
I'm going to read you mine exactly how I wrote it in my notes. Jax, Prince of Hearts, Jax. So I posted on Facebook, maybe. I posted on Facebook at the very beginning of Once Upon a Broken Heart. Minor spoilers for the Carol too. Like Jax, without giving too much away, is what most would consider kind of a villain. And he, I think the way I worded it is, I go into every one of these books expecting Jax to be different, and I'm always surprised when he's not, but I love him no matter what. It's Jax. Adjust my feelings. I'm all up in my feelings, and I can't give anything away. I can tell you that in Caraval, Jax is a fate. He is the Prince of Hearts. His curse is that his kiss is fatal to anyone but his one true love.
Oh, okay.
And in Caraval, in the series, does he find his true love? Doesn't he? I don't know, because I don't know what listeners have read it. But my God, the amount of times I screamed in this book. So good. So good. I'm so thankful that I got that arc. I'm thankful that the arc I got was an audiobook.
Uh-huh.
Because I was able to, like, I read probably 75% of Once Upon a Broken Heart and then all of the Ballad of Never After in the same day.
Yeah.
So I just, like, left it on audio. Oh my God, I just can't get over it. Like, I want to reread it.
I think I have like three more arcs to get through, and then I'll start Carval because I'm anxious now.
Yeah, The Ballad of Never After comes out September 13th, so you've got 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'll emptiness, never be prepared. Hollow, pain. Pain. But anyways, And my husband was, so a friend of mine is, she had read like some of the Caraval books, but she kind of fell off. And so she messaged me and she was like, hey, I saw your post. So I'm going to read Once Upon a Broken Heart. And I was like, wait, if you haven't finished all three Caraval books, there are major spoilers.
Yeah.
So go back. And she's like, I realized, blah, blah. And she was like, I just don't understand why I love Jack so much. And it's like, because you're supposed to. Like,
he's
the one everybody who reads this falls in love with. And so I was telling my husband about that. And he was like, let me guess, you don't love him though. I was like, girl, you're not basic. What are you talking about? Yes, I love Jack. Are you kidding? And I pulled out my note that where I'd already written it. I was like, look, what does this say? Fictional boyfriend. Who is this? Jack.
I love it. Oh, that's so funny.
I don't always go for the one that everybody wants you to. Like, I was team Jacob, and everybody would be team Edward, and I could not do it. And I hated Tamlin from the start, and I have roots to prove it. But Jack is Jack. Especially, again, he's blonde, and I don't normally go for blondes. But I don't really think this is a spoiler. 5 seconds spoiler warning for he's got blue hair in part of Sabana.
I think heart. Stephanie Garber has mentioned that. So
yeah, I'm like, oh, you're coming out the blue hair.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Where did your money go?
Well, remember last week when I was like, I bought something and I'm really excited for it to come so I can show you? Mm-hmm. It came. They're headphones. They're turning red headphones.
Oh my
with the little panda ears.
How are you not wearing them?
Because I wanted to surprise you with this.
I would have been very surprised if I logged in over your head.
I will put them on right now. Also, I was like trying not to pull
they're
them out.
So
they're so cute. It's taped. Maybe I won't pull them on right now because I don't know where my scissors are. But they're turning red headphones.
They're
very
cute, though.
I think the ears like can be detached. I'm not sure. I may have saw something, but they're so freaking cute. So I'm really excited for that to be part of the podcast from now on. With my turn.
That is precious.
And then in addition to that, they came out with a new turning red pin, and I need to take this out so I can show it to you because it's gonna make too much noise otherwise. But the tail moves. It's so cute.
Oh,
it's little May in panda form with her little moving tail. It's so cute. I love it so much. Look at that.
That is really precious.
And then I also finally, oh my gosh, I don't even remember when I pre-ordered these, but I pre-ordered them from Target and they finally came. The black light Marvel pins, Funko pins. So we've got Wanda, Kate, Sam, and Loki. And of course,
Cute.
I bought this for Wanda, but it came in set. And speaking of Wanda, the coolest pop arrived today. Not today, this week. It's so cool. It's Wanda.
Oh, that is so cool.
I guess brief spoilers for Multiverse of Madness, but it's Wanda fighting Zombie Strange.
I love that.
Freaking cool. Like, I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with it. I took it out of the box immediately and I was going to put it on my shelf and I was like, no, I have to show Mandy. So I had to leave it on my desk, but it's going to go up on my shelf like immediately after this, because I've been waiting.
The amount of things I ripped off of my shelf before we started recording is insane. I just had to follow my list. I was like, get this.
Anyways, I put a bunch of stuff on my shelf because I just needed to rearrange my shelf and I couldn't. But I got my Starlight in the Shadows swag box this week as well.
I did too. I loved it.
I loved it so much. I loved everything about it.
I know, it made me laugh when you text me because you'd ask Amber what size it was and she was like, I just looked it up for Mandy.
I was like, that is hilarious. I love that. So I have to get a frame to frame the poster, but I'm really excited about everything in there. It's so cool. I love it.
I have it on one side of the bathroom door up here, and then on the other side I have a Searchers poster, like their Paranormal Mind show poster.
I love. And then the other thing that I got this week was my August Fairloot box.
I can't, like, I did too, and I love it, and I'm frustrated at the same time.
Tell me more.
Not in like a, I don't even know how to say this. I'm not like frustrated at anybody, but for 2 months now, I've gotten the same book in two subscription boxes. It's like, yeah. It's cool because they're different versions, but at the same time, it's like I could have four different books, or I could, or I'm going to have two of the same book twice. So that's like, come on, guys, get together and discuss discuss with competitors. No, I can't. I love the little jewelry case.
Oh my God. I loved everything in this box.
Yeah.
Like, usually I have like one or two items. I'm like, eh. But I think I loved everything in this box. The book.
Yeah, my only annoyance was the book
was a repeat.
But
yeah. I love this cover of the book, though.
Yes. It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. I loved the book. I was really excited. And I don't know if this is just, I normally am not a Shakespeare person, but because of Chloe Gong, I like pulled out that
quote
Romeo
on it.
I was like, I love this.
I opened it up and I was like, bitch is gonna love this. And Karen is bitches. It's you bitches.
I'm bitches. Oh my God, I love it. No, I really did. I pulled it out and I was like, I love this. The jewelry case is amazing. What else is in it? I have it right here. What else was in it? I love, the tote bag.
Yes. With
all of the
books on it.
I went through.
Shatter Me is there.
I know. I was like, Mandy, Shatter Me is on there. It's so cool.
Kingdom of the Wicked.
Oh my God. And then this is the list
while you're talking.
The pin is from Gilded, which I haven't read, but it's on my list of things to read, so I'm sure that I'm going to like love it. Plus I love pins. And then what else we got in here? We've got the bookmarks and the tarot cards, which are both gorgeous as well. So I don't know if you were one of the ones affected, but due to some sort of packing error, some of the boxes did not come with the signed book plates.
So I got the email that I was affected, but the signed book plate was in my box.
So I wonder if they just sent it to it's weird that they would do that. But so when I pulled it out, I looked at everything and I opened the book and I was like, oh, the book's not signed. There must be a book plate somewhere. And I looked and I was like, there's no book plate. That's weird. Fairly usually has either a book plate or has it signed. So I read like the little spoiler card and they're like, this exclusive edition, blah, 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 signed book plate. And I was like, oh, I need to email them. And then I forgot. And then the next morning I woke up to an email and they're like, some of them went out without signed book plates. And I was like, oh, wow. I love that they're like on top of this.
Yeah. So
that was really cool.
They must have sent the email to everyone because I got the email and then I got my box.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm not expecting this. So I remember being surprised. I was like, wait.
Oh, interesting. I got my box and then the next day I got the email, which is interesting that I got mine before you.
Weird.
Fascinating. I'm fascinated
by it. Because I got my box yesterday.
Oh, I got mine well before yesterday. How interesting.
I know, because normally I get mine way before you.
Yeah, and you're way closer too. So how interesting.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by it. But it's very, they must send them out in batches or something.
Yeah.
Maybe I was in a batch before you and that's why it like offset the cross country thing. Either way, I thought that was really cool that they like were aware, they were so on top of it.
Immediately addressed it. Yeah.
They did. So I thought that was really cool. I think that's all. I got a couple of like playbooks from the drama bookshop. But I don't know where I put them. they're somewhere in this mess of my bedroom. But they're Wizard of Oz themed. and then there was a notebook.
So,
yeah. I was like, when I was checking out at the register, I was like, there's maybe a theme there. And she just kind of laughed. She's like, I see what you did there. Cause it was, I got a Wizard of Oz notebook. And then one of the playbooks was the Wizard of Oz. And the other one was, I think it's the Last Oz Story, I think was what it's called. I've never heard of it, but the Last Oz Story. So it's based on, inspired by L. Frank Baum's novel. So yeah, I thought that was really cool. So
interesting.
Yeah. I haven't read them yet, but they're over there. I see them now. But yeah, I can't think of anything else.
We know I'm going to be very incoherent about this time next month, right? Whenever we get the fairy loot box that has the over-the-air inspired gifts.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to be unwell.
I look forward to your craziness. Here's the thing. So I know we just talked about how we're not big on getting like duplicate books in these two separate book subscriptions. At least we know the next one is not the same.
True.
Because Novelty Chest is coming with the one that I'm getting now, the August one, I guess is what it is A Venom Dark and Sweet, which is the second book in the Book of Tea duology. So that's definitely not going to be the same as Fairy Loot. And then right. I think the next one, I can't even remember what it is, but I don't think it's going to be the same either. So hopefully we'll be getting different books.
Break from that. And please, if you're listening to this, don't think I'm genuinely like complaining.
No.
I'm not mad or frustrated, but it's like, it would be cool to get multiple different books too, instead of multiples of the same book. All right. Do you want to see where our money went?
Yes. Tell me everything.
So I don't have it to show, and obviously like I don't know that I would need to show it, but while I was here just laboring away on this beautiful library, my husband was at a charity event for it was in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and it was for it wasn't technically Wounded Warriors, but it was like retired military. They were saving money. One of the causes is they were buying a Minnie Mouse casket for someone who had passed, who was very young, very small. So they had a silent auction, and so he was like, obviously I'm gonna throw money wherever I can for this. So he ended up coming home with a Dyson. It's not the Airwrap, it's the style, I don't remember what it's called.
It's a fancy Dyson.
I don't know, it's a Dyson hair dryer. It's a fancy Dyson hair dryer. And he was like, he texts me, he got it for like less than half of retail, and he texts me, is this a good deal?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love it.
He also got it was a basket, which I snatched the basket. took it for decor purposes, but it had like an Apple HomePod and AirPods. Now we have a word, so we're not going to use those, but he's like, I'll find somebody who's in need.
Yeah.
Just give it to them. And he also, I didn't put it up on the shelf and forgot about it. He got me a book about Gettysburg. Bestseller by Gettysburg. So I was excited about that. I have lots. Let me show my fun ones first. Yesterday. So when my niece was here, when she's with her mom, she watches like the basic princess movies or like Paw Patrol or whatever. When she's with Mimi, we find Hercules. Or like over a year ago, she pointed out Nightmare Before Christmas, and she was barely talking at that point. That. So we watched it. She saw Jack Skellington on like a Disney coloring book app that I had this weekend, and she was like, Mimi, watch this at your house. You're a little Marvel. So anyways, we watched Hercules this time, and I was telling my husband, I want like a Greek mythology coffee table book. Like, I don't even know if that's a thing, but like, I want like a book that's got like Greek mythology, because I love it, and it has like synopses or whatever. We go to Barnes and Noble last night, there's a Greek mythology book. It was either $12 or $15, and it's big, and it's got like all kinds of stuff in it. It was in the book annex, just sitting there rotting, so of course it came home with me. Then we're in line. I don't normally go to the book annex. I just forget that it's there. We're in line. I'm next. They're like looking at me to come forwards. And I was like, wait, there was a book I saw one time in the annex, and I want to see if it's still there. It's a Harry Styles Adore You book. It's a photobiography of Harry Styles.
$10. Oh my gosh. That reminds me, I was at the drama, I meant to buy it, and then I just completely slipped my mind by the time we checked out. But the Be More Harry book that I sent you a picture of, I meant to buy it to send it to you, and I put it down and forgot about it.
I like looked at it and then I was like, meh. And Josh was like, you literally got out of line to go find this book. It's $10. Get the book. So I got the book. Yes. We went, I'll have to post pictures of these because they're like home decor, but they're nerdy. You know, I have my dining room is kind of, it's haunted mansion themed without like, it doesn't have to be like hokey with like the haunted mansion logo and the Disney logo on everything. Right. It's more like there are skeletons hanging on the wall that are like gold with flowers and a bunch of candlesticks. And I have like a bust of like a child's head that one of the twins and I found at a thrift store. We named him Charles. He's part of the family. Josh and the other twin think he's creepy. And we are like, okay, when he starts haunting you, because you're mean to him, we say hey to him every day. Hello, Charles. I hope you're having a great day. Well, we're in Spirit Halloween and they have one of the, in the Haunted Mansion canon, they call him Uncle Lucius, but like a bust of the one that like follows you. Mm-hmm. Sternly as you're going by in your doom buggy, a bust of him and a bat that like the bat like on a hanger. Mm-hmm. So I have it hanging on my gallery wall because it fits right in with like the spooky vibes without being like over the top hokey. So yeah, I was very excited about that. So I got two books and my Haunted Mansion decor. So I know I've also talked about being one of AK Mulford's street team members. I've got more stuff coming. There's like a bingo card where if you do all the things, you get prizes as part of her street team. And one of them is recommend talking about AK and the books to a podcast.
Oh, well, I mean.
And I was like, if I have a podcast and regularly talk about
AK, I mean, we've already said we would love to have her on. We would love to have her on.
So she's currently moving. She's actually officially moving the day that the Rogue Crown, which is the third book in her series, officially comes out.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to let her get, and not just moving, she's moving countries.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to let her get a little settled in the move and then I'm going to hit her with a, hey, come be on our podcast.
Yeah.
But I got my two self-published copies of the books that were already out. So we've got the High Mountain Court and the Witch's Blade. And then I've also read the Rogue Crown arc, which that will be out after these two because these two are being re-released through Harper Voyager.
Yep.
And then Evergreen Air is next and I'm so excited for that. Okay, so I had a copy of Once Upon a Broken Heart. It's right here behind me. But I did not have a signed Barnes and Noble copy.
Oh,
now I do.
Oh,
Lovely.
It's really I have the Barnes and Noble exclusive edition, which is that edition, on pre-order, but it's not signed because that was only the first printing.
I was going to say, on pre-order, this one's already out.
Yeah, because they sold out of the original version. So they are re-releasing the Barnes and Noble.
Redoing.
Gotcha. Yeah, so it's
Pango.
Yeah, it's a reprint of the Barnes and Noble exclusive edition, which originally came signed, but this reprint will not have signatures.
Gotcha.
And it's coming out the same day as Ballad.
I went on Pango and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna have to have that. I figured I haven't pre-ordered the Ballad of Never After yet, but my brother works at Barnes and Noble, so I'm just gonna be like, hey, do you guys have copies today?
And I have the Barnes and Noble and the Owlcrate edition on pre-order because I have those editions of Once Upon a Broken Heart. So I'm like, they have to match. Like, they have to match.
I have them all.
So therefore,
I would run out of shelf space so fast if I did that.
I mean,
like, I don't know.
I'm struggling.
I've got like 200 books to get to my goal of 1,000. I do have this whole shelf behind me that I can clear out, but that's another task for another day. Of course, I also got Lightlark.
Yes.
I will probably, I got to read a couple more arcs. And then I'll
requested it from I requested it from my library, but it's going to be a wait so I can get through my arcs.
There were a few people at the event who had already read it who said it was really good and that it has like a cliffhanger twist ending that you don't see coming, so we'll see.
All right.
And then I think this is last, let me look at my list. So I don't know if you follow the guy, there's a guy on TikTok, he's one of my favorite TikTokers, and his thing that you see him do the most is, hello, my name is Kyle Prue and this is something you can say to piss off men. And
no, but I love that
things. Oh my god, it'll be like oh my gosh, now I can't even think of one and they're freaking hilarious. You could be like, oh, it's like Quidditch when he's telling you about rugby, or like
You know, just things
oh
like that.
Oh my God, I love it.
Oh, so you're short when he says he's 6 feet tall. Like just things to like emasculate fragile men.
Yes.
Yeah. And I so it like he will have you, you're going to have to go look at him. It's just Kyle Proop.
Okay.
And there was a TikToker who I guess there's some drama surrounding them who spent $40,000 of their own money to make a short film and then charged $15 to view it on Patreon. And a lot of people were like, $15 for a movie of TikTokers is not really something I'm going to spend.
Yeah.
And so Kyle Proop also has a short film called Rabbit, or it's, I don't know if it's technically a short film, it's like a series called Rabbit. And he, you know, somebody was talking about this, not really a scandal, but the situation, and he duets it, and he's like, listen, I feel uniquely qualified to respond to this, he said, because I spent all of my life savings on making Rabbit, and then I made it free. Mm-hmm. You can watch it on YouTube for free. And he said, and it's been viewed so many times, and now like he has a million followers on TikTok. And he was like, was it the best financial decision? Probably not, but people aren't gonna spend $15, like $5.
Yeah,
$3 to rent it, whatever, but 15 is a lot of money for, like, I'm not gonna pay $15 for a Warner Brothers movie.
I don't pay 15.
I'm gonna wait until it goes to rent.
I don't pay $15 to go to the movies, period.
Right.
Like,
so he was expecting a lot, and then he gets on, and not Kyle Proop, the original mm-hmm. creator, kind of doubles down on, well, nobody cares about me on this app. So like almost like he was trying to guilt his followers.
Okay.
Like, you obviously don't care about me. Anyways, one of the things Kyle Proop says when he's talking about this is, I spent all of my life savings, all of the rest of the book money. And I was like,
book money.
You got book money?
Yeah, book money. You got books.
Trilogy. He wrote a trilogy when he was younger. It's called the Feud Trilogy. So it's the Sparks, the Flames, and the Ashes. It's a YA series about a teenage warrior who's been captured and imprisoned by the Empire. He escapes and is trying to figure out if he's going to pay the ultimate price to ensure everybody else's freedom.
Want to read.
Yeah. It's won like President's Awards. He was 16 when he started writing it. He's probably crazy. Our age, maybe our age.
That is crazy.
Won Best YA Fiction Awards from FAPA, the International London Book Festival, Florida Book Festival, Midwest Book Festival, Southern California Book Festival, Hollywood Book Festival, and the New England Book Festival.
Goodreads says he is now a student at the University of Michigan.
Yeah.
A student as in like elder student, or like he's just starting college?
He can't not just starting college. There's no way. He's got to be. Let me look. He also.
I got you.
He also founded. I want to call it a charity. I believe that's what it is. It's called sparkingliteracy.org, which seeks to improve graduation rates and help
kids
get access to. Yeah. And he seems super smart. Let me see.
I'm on his website right now.
Birthday. Let's see. 1996. So he's 25. He's not new in college.
No.
This is if famous birthdays is a correct source.
Okay. It still blows my mind. You said like 96 and they're like, he's in his 20s.
Yeah.
I can't.
Oh yeah. 96 should be like a 10-year-old.
I can't wrap my head around that. My God. I still think like, what?
The 70s were 30 years ago.
Yeah. Like, we're not 30.
The rest of my life, the 1970s were 30 years ago.
Oh my God.
So yeah, go look. It's just at Kyle Proop on TikTok. I'm gonna flood you with,
oh God,
Kyle Proop, and these are things you can say to piss off men.
I love it.
It's always so good.
That makes
They're
me
always
so happy.
So good.
I love it.
I think that's where all of my money went. I ordered, this is not like fandom related, but I ordered a treadmill to go under my desk because my desk is like one of the standing ones.
Oh yeah, your Amazon purchase.
And Amazon and the post office have both said, hey, it was delivered in Virginia. Well, I don't live in Virginia. I live in Georgia. So I message Amazon, and the first person was like, oh, let me send you to somebody who can help. And then the next person, Khalil, nephew, Khalil. Khalil says, well, the delivery day isn't until September 9th, so check back then. Okay, but you both have already told me that it was delivered to Virginia.
Yep.
Well, it will arrive. Just check back on the 9th.
But you've okay, said it.
But how arrived. Do I track it? It will be there. Just check back on the 9th. And it was like, are we waiting on a wing and a prayer for this? To show? What insane. Are you talking about?
Insane.
So I get that it probably came from overseas and maybe it was delivered in customs or something. But
that's not how they should mark it.
No, it should not be marked as delivered because that starts my return window.
Yeah.
So now I have over a week to wait that if there's something wrong with it, I one, have to wait to know if there's something wrong with it. Two, have to wait to return it. Three, have to wait to get a replacement.
Yep.
Because y'all are mismarking your stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm excited about that though.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Cause I had an exercise bike and I would not get on that thing. But a treadmill that I can walk while I'm working, forget mm-hmm. about it.
Yep.
I think that's where all my money went.
Awesome. All right, so what are you anticipating this week?
I'm anticipating All of Our Demise coming out and the chat that you enabled me to purchase on tomorrow night. Yeah, tomorrow night.
I thought it was
the Atlas 30th. Paradox.
Isn't it Tuesday? Today's the 28th. Isn't it the 30th?
I thought they told me it was Monday. Let me look.
Is it the 29th?
No, it's tomorrow. It's the 29th. Okay. It's 29th.
Oh, does it come out on the 30th? It comes out on the 30th. Maybe that's
yeah,
what it is.
Yeah, the okay. chat is, the that's talk is on
that's why I got confused. That's why I got confused.
Yeah, I was like, sorry. I was like, wait, because they sent a reminder email yesterday, and I had two calendar days to go.
It's my brain. Monday. I had a correct date.
Yeah, you're right. Also, the Atlas Paradox, of course. That's not till October, but it's getting close. It'll be here before we know it.
Did you see the Fairy Loot edition? They sent an email. Yes. It makes me mad because I want the first one to go
exactly.
with it.
Exactly. That's why I don't know if I'll buy it or not because
I was looking for the first one to see what it was going for so that I could have the match.
Yeah. I need to look, but I know. I have to save all my money for is it Fairy Loot that's doing no, it's Lunacorns.
Illumicrate.
That's doing the part Illumicrate is doing the partnership with Holly Black.
Is it Illumicrate or is it Litjoy?
Litjoy okay, does Lunacorns. Like, is there
yeah.
is there
like, yeah, yeah.
is what they call like, their like subscribers.
I was like, I can't remember. Why did I say Illumicrate? Yeah. Yeah. When does that come out?
I don't remember.
Soonish.
You the Jupiter music.
Of course they like announce it like immediately after I've bought all three books. Like
It is going to be starting to be on sale September 28th. It opens to Lunacorns, which I am one. They open to the public on September
29th. Okay.
Then if you're a Lunacorn, the collection, which we don't know what's going to be in that, it's six licensed items, goes on sale to Lunacorns on October 19th, open to the public on October 20th.
Okay. So it is coming up soon.
Yeah.
Fun.
So I'm looking forward to that. And then just now when we were talking about fairy loot bag, the tote bag that has Kingdom of the Wicked on it, Kingdom of the Feared comes out this month. It's the third Wrath book. I'm guaranteeing you that week that is my fictional boyfriend because my god
I added that series to my TBR strictly because I saw a TikTok that was like, if this is your Marvel crush, I recommend this book. And they said, I think it was Bucky. Is it Bucky or Wanda? I can't remember. But I saw one, it was either Bucky or Wanda. And then there was another series that was the other one.
I don't know that either of them is dark enough.
Either way, it's on my TBR now, so.
And this is weird, and I hope this doesn't sound weird. Like, I just did it. I do it with Jax, too, like when I picture Jax. I picture Prince Wrath as if Adam Driver, because he's really tall and skinny from what I picture, but like as an anime character.
Oh.
Like when I picture Jax, he's an anime character. And when I picture Prince Wrath, he's like an emo anime character.
I like this. Okay.
Listen, I'm telling you what. You gotta read it. They are big books. Like, they look like they are gonna take a long time. Oh, I read them in like a day and a half. So they're quick reads because you can't put them down. You can't stop.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Anything else?
I'm anticipating that. On the 27th. I don't think so. What are you anticipating?
Well, I have tickets to the Barnes & Noble virtual event with Chloe Gong on September 27th, which is the day that Foul Lady Fortune Yay. Comes out. And I also have tickets to a in-person book talk / signing at a bookstore in San Francisco with Chloe Gong on October 4th. So I'm going to be, and on the 27th, I will be at Disneyland with Tiffany and Mary and Heather. And I've already told Tiffany, I'm like, if I disappear from like 4 to 5 or 6, it's just because I'm going to be on a Zoom.
I'm listening to my Sorry. Book chat.
I'm about to abandon y'all for like an hour or so. So I will be on this book chat from Disneyland because I have to. So I'm looking forward to those. I'm looking forward to you getting through these Violent Delights duology
and then
reading Foul Lady Fortune. I am, what else am I anticipating? I don't know. I don't know. My brain has left the building. So
incoherent. It
is incoherent. That is all I've got right now. I'm looking, why am I looking around my room? Like that's going to tell me what I'm looking forward to. I got nothing, but those book tots. I'm really excited to meet Chloe and be like, hey, want to come on my podcast? Want to be my bestie?
Yes.
We talk about you a lot. Well, I do. I talk about you a lot. I'm like, do you have any more copies of that bound manuscript of Immortal Longings? Because I was not at Comic-Con and I would really appreciate that to add to my collection.
I need one.
Oh my God. I would die. Please. I would die. I emailed the event organizers for the event in San Francisco, be like, is she only going to be signing Foul Lady Fortune? Because I have other things I would like to bring. if that's okay. Like I have my regular copies of the duology and my ARC that I would love to get signed as well, if that's a possibility.
Yeah.
So like, can Please. You just let me know? Because if I can, I'll bring them with me and I'll get them signed. If not, then I'll leave them at home. Like, they're not right.
Don't
light.
Don't make me lug a bag.
I need you to let me know. I need you to let me know if I can bring them. So there's that. I can't think of anything else. I don't know. I have no brain at the moment. That's all I got.
I don't either.
All right. Well, then we can move on to... Fangirl Freestyle. And it's my turn, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I want to talk about, I don't know if you've seen it, but apparently Bruce Banner in the comic books, has DID. And that is why, Bruce and Hulk are like two separate beings versus Jennifer Walters and She-Hulk, because she's still just Jen. She didn't have that struggle. It's not two different people.
Interesting.
Remember in the first episode, Bruce is like, there's nobody in there with you because he's got another person.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that. I didn't know that he has DID.
Interesting.
Yeah. So apparently Bruce's origin story is very traumatic, as most superheroes are. And he was abused by his father as a child and developed DID. And that's where the Hulk came in. He was, you know, the one who was like protecting Bruce.
Yeah.
When he was going through this. And then when he, you know, gets hit with all the gamma and all that, he actually comes out as what we know as the Hulk. It's interesting that they didn't incorporate that into his on-screen origin story.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, like 10 plus years ago, the representation that we had then is very different from what we have now. Yeah. So, right. I mean,
There's
I guess
been
I can...
a massive push
mm-hmm.
recently.
I feel like that would have been interesting to know 10 years ago, because then we would have had these conversations about DID then now. But I also think, like, having it come out now with Moon Knight during, like, the TikTok era, I think it makes it better.
It does, because you see real people, not someone acting, but real people who have DID, who 10 years ago you would have heard about something like that and said, oh, they're just schizophrenic.
their skits out, which is ignorant and not true. Mm-hmm. And so we've already learned from TikTok. And then we see it in one of our superheroes.
Yeah. So I have such a hard time with it because I wish that we had had that representation for these people back mm-hmm. then. But I also feel like had we had it then, it would have been more harmful than helpful. So, like, it's nice that we are having it now as a discussion with Mark and, oh my gosh.
Bruce.
Steven. Bruce. Sorry.
Steven. I thought you were trying to think of Hulk.
No. I was trying to think of Mark and Steven. With Mark and Steven, where we're seeing it now and during Jake. The TikTok era and Jake, where we can have that, like, immediate education from people who live with it versus 10 years ago, we didn't have TikTok. We would not have been able to have these really good conversations and this education that we have now. So yeah, I just thought it was really interesting when I found out about that. I was like, I want to talk about this. Bruce also has DID. We just don't know it.
You talked about Bruce being a hero. He's got a tragic backstory, and it made me also think of a quote from the Once Upon a Broken Heart, Ballad of Never After. He regularly says, heroes don't get happy endings. They give them away to other people.
Oh my God. Right through my...
Doesn't that gut you?
Right in the soul. Holy crap.
Buckle up, baby. That's what you got to look forward to.
Good Lord.
My friend, it's a series of unfortunate events for grown-ups.
Good Lord. Right in the feels.
Say it's wrong, though.
Oof.
You're not wrong.
You can't. Good Lord. Lord almighty. Yeah, no. Wow.
Ouch.
Ouch.
I think that's the word you're looking for. Ouchie.
Ouch is a good word for it. But yeah, I just think it's interesting. I love learning the, like, comic book origins of these characters as we're seeing them develop in the MCU. And I love this era. I love Phase 4. Yeah. I love this era of Marvel because not only are we getting really good representation of various people, various things, we're also getting more education behind it too. Yeah. And we're having better conversations about it.
Another thing is, like, Chad can say, go read the comics. Do you understand how long it would take to read every Marvel comic ever?
Mm-hmm.
That is not just like an easy task. So no, I don't know that in volume 7, edition 80, happened. But it's good to be able to go back and find these things in the written comics.
I almost feel like it's nice to have this, like, visual representation, like this visual medium where we're having the movies and the TV shows and then being able to go back to the source material after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice to come to it fresh with an idea in your mind, like, once you've seen it, and then go back and fill in the blanks.
Right.
I feel like
without having to read an entire almost centuries worth of.
Right. It's like, dude, I'm in my 30s. Comics. They've been around for like 80 years. Like, and they come out like weekly. So you want me to read 80 years worth of comics that came out weekly with what time?
Yeah. With what time? Have you seen my TBR?
Seriously, like, with what time? I will happily go back. Like, I feel like it just enriches the experience if you watch it first without any, like, preconceived notions, without anything. Just go into it, watch it, enjoy it. And then if you go back to the source material, it, like, enriches your experience. You get a deeper understanding of who these people are and where they originally came from, and it makes it better. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
It's like how I watch Crazy Rich Asians and loved that and then went back and read the books and it made it even better. Like,
I did that with it's stupid, but I did that with Crimson Peak too. Like, they wrote a book for the movie. A lot of people didn't like Crimson Peak. I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like, the book was cool because it gave, well, I mean, obviously.
I was like,
it gives you more that you can't get. You don't get, in some ways in a movie, you can get what the character is feeling, but not in the same way that you can in a book.
Exactly. Because you don't get what they're thinking. Yeah, you don't get that internal monologue that they have in books normally. I feel like I enjoy stuff more Because we've done it where we've read the books and then we watch the movies and we're disappointed by the movies because they don't match the book. But if you watch the movies first and then you go back and read the books, it just makes it better. Like, you can enjoy the movie and then you can go back and read the source material and be like, oh, that fills in more blanks. That makes these characters deeper. That makes it better. So, like, to be like, oh,
I just already read the love comments. This like, character and now I'm falling more.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Ugh, stupid Chad.
Shut up, Chad. Nobody wants to hear from you.
Nope. All right, well, that's all I wanted to say. That was it. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add to it.
But... I'm about to throw a book at some dogs. I know that. I just plunked a Kyle Prue book down right in the middle. Not abusive to my dog. I knew it wasn't going to hit them, but it just was enough to scare them.
Yeah.
Separate them from each other. And now they're following each other around. I'm so tired of you guys. I'm going to put you outside with frogs.
They're so bad.
And now I've got Tallulah up here. She's
rotten.
She's quiet, at least.
That's true. She is the quiet.
That was the incoherent bear girl. Fighting dogs.
Oh my gosh.
One podcast at a time.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, it's time for the spiel.
The spiel.
We only promised we wouldn't sing outside of the spiel. That's all I'm saying.
I forgot that promise. I'm just glad I didn't do it.
Anyways, if you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. And you can also follow us on social media. We're on Instagram and TikTok at The Incoherent Fangirl and Twitter as at Incoherent Girls because Twitter is the worst and has a character limit.
Boo!
Boo! We hate them.
The bowels of the internet.
Trash. Literal trash.
Trash.
Please like our Facebook page and visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of our episodes as well as read our blog with many, many things on it. You can You can read Mandy's actual reactions to finishing The Ballad of Never After. It is quite humorous.
I wish I'd been recording myself in the last 30 seconds.
Now I shall prepare myself for it.
Literally the last chapter, record yourself.
Okay.
Just for me.
Oh, God. Okay. please visit our YouTube. We also have a YouTube where you can stream all of our episodes. They are audio only. We will be using it for Patreon, which will include bonus material as well as full video episodes. And if you have any other suggestions for Patreon or anything else on the podcast, send us an email at theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. You don't have to send us suggestions. You can just tell us we're cool. That would be fun.
Yep. And tell us we're funny and pretty and perfect.
Yes, we would love that. And if you are anybody that we have talked about on the podcast and you want to come onto the podcast, please feel free to reach out to us. We would love to have you.
Yes.
And she is at Mandy Perb on all the things.
And she is at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
Yay! I got That's through us. That without messing anything up.
See, you did great.
And now, internet besties.
Yay. We love our besties.
We do. You can head on over to herecomesthenerd.com and use code FANGIRL to get 20% off your first order.
Or you can go to onceuponabookclub.com and use code MANDY10 for 10% off.
And if that is not enough books for you, you can head on over to NovelTeaChest.com. It's novel like a book, tea like the drink, chess.com. Use code FANGIRL5 and you'll get 5% off your monthly subscription.
And last but not least, you can get even more tea by heading over to GrimoireTea.com. Use code FANGIRLTEA, just make sure you leave out the I, FANGRLTEA, for 10% off your order.
There's no I in T.
There's no I in T.
Look, I made a funny.
You're the funniest.
Oh my gosh. We love our internet besties. Please go visit them. And even if you don't order, just let them know you stopped by because we love them. We love them and you will too, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Incoherent Fangirl. Thanks for listening.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.